Electricity, a big idea that's inspired countless new ones. From powering the light bulb to virtually powering our entire lives. 30 years ago, State Street launched the Spider S&P 500 ETF, SPY. A big idea that inspired the world to invest differently. And still does. What can you do with SPY?
Before investing, consider the fund's investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses. Visit SSGA.com for a prospectus containing this and other information. Read it carefully before investing. SPY is subject to risks similar to those of stocks. All ETFs are subject to risk, including possible loss of principal. Alps Distributors, Inc. Distributor.
Market insight and analysis. You're listening to the opening bell of CNBC's Squawk on the Street.
Good Friday morning. Welcome to Squawk on the Street. I'm Carl Quintanilla with Jim Cramer, David Faber at the New York Stock Exchange. Important day. November core CPI brings no real surprises. Up 0.5, is in line, down 0.1 from a prior month. Futures actually gained some steam here. Hedges come off. The VIX below 20 as the Fed arguably has the go-ahead for a faster taper next week. Our roadmap begins with that inflation surge. Highest read year-on-year since 82. Futures moving higher, but what does it mean for the economic recovery and Fed policy?
Plus, SPAC on the street. SEC Chair Gensler says tougher new rules to protect investors will be coming soon.
And EV Watch, Ford stopping the F-150 Lightning reservations due to high demand. And GM's Mary Barra says, quote, we're first, full stop. First, though, we'll begin with consumer inflation in the supply chain, Jim. Internals, as Leisman said, everything's up. And we talked a lot about used cars and trucks, up 31 year on year.
You've got to listen to Rich Galanti, who's an amazing CFO at Costco, to get a read on everything that's up. And he just says basically everything that's up. And there isn't anything that doesn't sell off very quickly when they get it in. One of the things he also says, by the way, is that this shipping thing is a disaster. I mean, almost every, the numbers he gave are that, get this, they're seeing 79% of containers are late by 51 days. And he calls it, he's got 4.5 to 5% inflation. It's a great call. Now, the best call I've heard about what inflation means was from Doug Yearley, CEO of Toll Brothers, saying that they can't finish the homes. They have to go to Home Depot to buy the appliances to finish. So there you've got the, think about the embedded inflation. There's nothing transitory when you do have to, when you're one of the largest home builders and you go to Home Depot, you can't go to Whirlpool because they don't have any. So yeah, it's embedded, it's bad. And obviously Jay was right to say, listen, we got to go here.
Yeah, meanwhile, 1982 is the last time we saw this rate of inflation. What were interest rates then?
That was really, it's interesting because that's, if you remember, that was when Reagan was trying to get the economy, if you remember.
Well,
you were like in
diapers. That was Volcker. I wasn't.
Well, Reagan
actually
was president. So
yes,
like
I'm
the
aware.
The United States.
Yes.
Well, they worked very closely. Reagan used to talk to Democrats. He used to have beers with Tip O'Neill. Thank
yes,
you, Chris Matthews, for a great book about that. But look, they were trying to restart the economy. But what's amazing to me about this is, you know, I had Hormel on last. I don't even know if we have a clip, but Hormel, which, by the way, 7 straight quarters of good gains in Spam.
Yeah.
But he listed everything that's up. And the fact is, he's still doing well.
I mean, I know, but meanwhile, you didn't answer the question. The rates were a lot higher than 1484 the last time we saw anything close to this level of year-over-year inflation.
I sold treasuries when I was at Goldman Sachs. They were 14% U.S. treasuries, 30-year. And I used to sit there and I used to call, and you don't make any money off selling those. You can't jam people into can't charge more for a treasury. But I ruined all my customer base because there's never going to get anything better than a 14% treasury out 30 years and then finally rolling off. But yeah, I mean, we're really, the rates are so low, it's kind of crazy.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you're a gardener and you love all things landscaping.
Absolutely.
Do you give Powell credit for sort of aerating the lawn at this point?
Oh, he totally gets credit. By the way, outdoor furniture for summer, selling out like mad at Costco. Yeah, I think you got to give him credit. Look, I mean, you know, I think one of the reasons why he's so great is that he really kind of did wait to see how far. Remember, he said, I want the pandemic to play out. Now, we do have some spikes, obviously, but he's a man of his word. He basically said, I got to wait. It looks like it's running to its course, and now it's time to act. Now that everyone's full, did you see unemployment data yesterday? So, yeah, it's time to act. Can he stop? Can he start creating cars that have chip shortages? No, but he can cool down housing, and housing is
those numbers are very notable.
Although shelter 3-4,
yeah,
it's a huge part of this.
Amazing. Now, Yearley did say of the affordable luxury, they will not be deterred by higher rates, but there are people who basically want very much to get out of an apartment. Apartments 97% are full. I mean, the country's operating at full tilt. And full tilt, it's like a steel mill. You know, they can't operate at more than 98%. Do 102, they burn out. We're done. We can't work. This economy can't be hotter. It is the hottest I've ever seen. Much hotter, of course, than 82.
Well, you made the Roaring Twenties comment this week.
It is.
It's a huge play.
It is. Did he?
Yes.
Did it really?
Yeah, he was all over the place.
Oh, I love that.
wait. So is that going to be?
Hey, listen, my daughter listened to my investment call yesterday. It's like, that was big.
She liked that? She liked your investment call?
She liked it, yeah.
That's nice.
She thought I was funny. And there was a shout out to someone from her town when the town did kind of burn down.
Oh, look, there it is. There's
oh, my God.
And your investing club.
That's a good haircut. Shoot.
Yeah. I could start.
Look at all those people. I could take off a couple of
pounds. What were all those people doing, Jim?
There's 50 people from 50 states, David.
Wow.
Listening to the investment club, which is a lot more than you did.
I was working, okay?
Oh,
I was working.
I think he was on air. You guys were on air yesterday. It was really weird.
We worked a lot, but so did you.
No, but yesterday was insane.
What I love, though, is you gave the club stuff that they're not going to get on television. Right. The Disney call, for example.
Yeah, we bought some Disney right in the conference call, and I really think that Disney's right. We also had this interview. I think we have
look at all those people.
Sound one. I think we have a little bit of what Jim Farley said. He made major news on our club call.
Let me hear it. Let me hear it. Sports CEO Farley.
Yeah, Jim Farley.
Okay, we're going to give him one
second.
That's
amazing.
They're getting that ready.
Well, that's like there was this guy came up when he wasn't ready yet, and it was like he made this cameo, one of our people. Yeah, it's funny.
You know, on closing bell, Stephanie Link went after your Disney call. It's funny. She just thought it was interesting. Anyway, you know what? We have the Farley sound, so we could go to if you'd like.
Yeah. We have Jim Farley. We don't have
the correct.
The wrong Farley. We have Tom Farley. We got Jim Farley. Let's get a Farley.
Take a listen.
We're completely oversubscribed with our battery electric vehicles. Lightning especially. The F-150 Lightning, America's best-selling vehicle. Everyone loves the electric version. They haven't even driven it yet. Where do they drive it? 0 to 60 in like a 911. It's just an incredible product. It powers your house for 4 days. We had to stop reservations. We've got so many.
Well, that's important because one of the things that's happened is that the one, when he talks about it, Jonas.
Yes, the analyst at Morgan Stanley.
People can catch
he seems to be that. Having an existential crisis
he
and
does,
wrote some sort
does.
Of report
well,
this thing about the death of an auto analyst. And we're a little concerned about
Biff
him. But
was saying, Hap was saying, look, what's interesting is that we've been comparing the reservations of Rivian and Tesla to Ford reservations. Well, now we know he stopped. We were thinking, I guess that was just kind of a blip. No. And he's going to get permission to build all of the plants he needs. By the way, Mountain Pass MP Materials, they have found, they're building a giant factory with GM. Mary Barra should not be discounted in this thing. She is making it so that she's going to have the magnet capacity, and I think that she's going to be a comer. So I love talking about Tesla and Musk who keeps selling stock. That's great. Mary Barra ain't selling stock, she's selling cars. That's a good business.
Yeah. Of course, Toyota, which had hoped to have some normal production as of this month, is having to push that back, at least in Japan, because the supply constraints that we thought might be cleared up by year-end are sticky.
Well, that's why you have to do what Farley did. I mean, contracts long-term with global foundries. You have to do these long-term contracts. America was way too much interested in just-in-time. Just-in-time is not great for a company that's trying to figure out whether to build a giant fab.
Right. And an interesting story in the journal today, even though you will not see on the horizon quite as many ships waiting to dock at the L.A. port, they're just further out there or they're slowing their passage by double, basically taking twice as long to get here because they're just going slower.
Oh, so that whole idea that it's clearing up.
It's not
a Potemkin village.
Ships are in anchor for shorter amounts of time.
Yes.
But they can't help the line outside the club door, right?
Look, we're in a boom of unprecedented proportions. We got to start saying, when you can't keep spam on the shelves, guys, that may be the definition of a boom. You can't keep spam.
I have to have spam on the shelves.
Spam selling too quickly.
Really?
Yeah. No, I made that up. That's a lie. No, we had it last night.
Pumpkin spice spam? Yeah.
Pumpkin spice spam. You can't. Hormel. That thing, that's a collector's item.
Well, Costco did mention the cream cheese shortage
the
on the call.
The schmear.
They've got enough. So we can stop worrying about that at least.
Oh, no, good.
I'm glad. Actually, that was very worrisome.
It's always something. Do you remember the actress who said it's always something?
Yes. The cream cheese issue, my friend Gary Greengrass and Brendan Greengrass said they're going to actually have to make the bagel hole bigger. That's how they're going to deal with it.
That's good.
Like that?
I got to tell Glanty that. Glanty tells a joke a day. He's a starting CFO. He's hysterically funny. He always puts a couple of jokes in the call, and the analysts never get them. Never.
When we come back this morning, SEC Chair Gensler taking aim at SPACs in an online video that you got to see. Take another look here at the futures. As we said, VIX now about 19.5 and 10-year yields session low despite CPI. We're back in a moment.
You seek the key, but first you must learn the ways of precision, craft, and performance with Acura's all-electric ZDX. With a premium Bang & Olufsen sound system, up to a 313-mile range, and a Type S variant with an estimated 500 horsepower, the ZDX is their most powerful SUV yet. Unlock the energy when you visit Acura.com to order yours today.
What's on the horizon for financial markets? At PGIM, it's a question that over 1,400 investment professionals relentlessly research in pursuit of your long-term goals. Specialized across asset classes, but united in collaboration, our teams provide global and local expertise. Our investments shape tomorrow, today. Pursue your tomorrow with PGIM, a leading global asset manager.
Suppose a group of strangers came up to you and said, I have a company that doesn't do much of anything, but sometime in the next 2 years, we'll merge with another company. I don't know what that company is yet. Would you invest in the stranger's company? What if I told you that if the strangers complete a merger, they get to pocket 20% of your investment? That's essentially what a special purpose acquisition company, a SPAC, does.
That's SEC Chair Gensler taking aim at special purpose acquisition companies in an online video. Interesting new way of communicating. Actually saves some firepower for against pipe investors who he argues are getting a leg up on regular, normal, I guess, investors,
yeah,
he says.
And I know we're going to Dave on this, but this was such a breath of fresh air. I mean, this is Chairman Gensler.
Jim, that does not sound like a man who thinks highly of SPACs. I mean,
he trashed them like you wouldn't believe. He BuzzFed them.
Yeah, BuzzFeed is one.
No, this was a remarkable video. Must be watched. You know,
the question is, I mean, we've had him on. He's been on with us. We keep waiting. We know these things take quite a while. But do you have any expectation that something is coming soon from the staff and that we will actually see additional regulation and then where it may be focused?
He's betting it's a chilling effect situation. Mm-hmm. That their responsible people say, I don't want to be on the griddle when the chairman takes aim. Like he says, well, let me give you an example. You don't want to be that example. This was horrifying.
I mean,
if I were running a SPAC right now, I would just say, oh my, Well, I got to solve this.
There are so many out there, and we'll get to that.
How many have been found?
We'll get to all the numbers.
I mean, not everything's DraftKings.
No,
right?
I mean, listen, Gensler, new rules around marketing practices, tougher disclosure requirements, better alignment. Of course, we've talked so often about the alignment of incentives between the SPAC sponsor and the investor. That said, many of these SPACs right now are trading below their $10 issue price. Many are an opportunity because you can redeem, remember, at $10 or even sometimes $10.20. There's a bit of a yield available to you. And then every so often, you hit the jackpot, a la DWAC, the Trump SPAC, as we call it, that I know a couple of people who owned it. In fact, they agreed to be part of the initial underwriting and got warrants and other things as a result of that to get the deal off the ground. And then it hit and it was look what happened.
But it's had a lottery ticket.
Yes, it's a lottery ticket. But why not own a lottery ticket if you know you're locked in? You know, you buy it at 980 and you know you're going to get 10 or 10.20. No, so that's happening.
But what happens with the BuzzFeed, David, which is down so much? What happens?
You know, I talked for weeks, remember, about redemption rates and how they weren't disclosing them immediately and how important they were. This is another example of a company with BuzzFeed where I think it was 94% of shareholders chose to redeem, get their money back. leaving very, very little in the trust account to go to the company than was originally anticipated to help fund its continued growth. And that has worried people. And so BuzzFeed shares, as you see, have been very poor. Any number of other names
you could
have been
do a lot of, right?
Quite poor. And then we have the winners, you know, the Lucids of the world that are sixfold from what their issue price, or at least have been at some point, and created a massive amount of market value. We've got another big deal today.
What?
I don't know if you noticed, Getty Images. Now, there's a real company.
That's a real company.
It's a real company.
I used to recommend that
stuff. About a $5 billion deal. It's Neuberger's SPAC. They're talking about an enterprise value there of $4.8 billion. It's about 15 times on an enterprise value to what they anticipate adjusted EBITDA will be for next year. So there you at least, you know, you're not talking about out years, 26, 27, right. 28, where you've got this huge sudden jump that we often see in these projections to cash flow positive from negative. Here you've got a business, obviously, that already has a significant amount of EBITDA. Choosing the SPAC route, though, to go public as opposed to a straight IPO, $150 million pipe there. But guys, this has been one of the phenomena of the year, and it's not stopping. You know, our friend Neil Danik's over, we call it SPAC Analytics. I mean, he says this thing is just a machine. You've got 23 SPAC IPOs already to December 9th versus 62 for November. So December's running hotter. You've got 591 IPOs so far now coming in 2021. And you know, Jim, to answer your question, 568 are seeking a deal. I mean, again, it goes back to this idea of how do you chase that many opportunities, and what do you do, and what are you willing to offer in order to get your deal done, given you as the sponsor still are in a position, to Mr. Gensler's point, to make money even when the stock falls well below 10 bucks. And as we know, even though redemptions can be very high, these deals still get approved and rarely renegotiated.
Remember when Dave Cote started with Vertiv?
Yes, great SPAC.
What they looked there for. Are some, they had a business they wanted to buy. They
worked
the other way.
There's
right?
no doubt.
They had a business they want to buy the business.
That are good deals and that represent potentially good value over time, that have good management teams. But it requires a lot of focus from the investment community in order to. And so with so many out there, it's hard, Carl, to know where to even go.
I hope that Gensler succeeds and people watch the video realize it's a racket.
Well, for those who haven't seen it, one more piece from it. It's not too long, but it does raise the question of how his communications are going to evolve further in the future. Here's a little bit more of it.
We need to make sure that investors in SPACs are being protected. Look. You as an investor get to decide about where to put your money, but companies raising money from the public have to provide adequate disclosures. I think we can enhance the disclosures that companies raising money via SPACs make. I've asked staff for recommendations about how we might update our rules so that investors are better informed about the fees, the costs, the conflicts that may exist with these SPACs. We'll also work to hold bad actors accountable and keep a close eye on all the parties in these transactions.
Does it make you feel that SPACs are now a higher priority than crypto, payment for order flow, China, or any of the other boiling pots?
I felt yes. I think that it's this is something that I think that Chairman Gensler has wanted to do. Remember when we said his plate was too full?
Yep. By the way, these are the SPACs that have not yet done a deal. Now we've got the SPACs that have announced a deal. Just to give you a sense, they're trading below, right? And then the SPACs that did a deal, we track them. They're also below. So the only ones trading above are actually the ones that haven't announced the deal.
Well, and Jim points out that everyone early made money no matter what in these. He's not Sondheim, by the way, when you have that orchestration. That's not Sondheim, the late, great. Who did not even get mentioned on our show?
Yeah, he should have. He's been remembered. The lights were dim this week on Broadway.
It's amazing, man. I got to meet him.
You did?
Titan. Yes, I did. Pacific Overtures in Boston.
Okay.
Yeah.
Fabulous.
Yeah, fabulous.
I met him at Merrily
one night.
Did
you really?
Was he just David?
I didn't meet him.
You never met him?
Never met Sondheim.
Have you met anybody?
Yeah, a handful of people. And he was up near me in Roxbury, too. He was
You could have just.
I know. I could have stopped by for a drink.
Yeah.
All the ladies who lunch.
Vodka Stinger.
Yeah, exactly.
Kramer's Mad Dash coming up and the opening bell. Take a look at futures getting better after our CPI runs a bit hot. Don't go away.
Welcome to the Canva guided meditation for stress at work. Impending deadline? Generate Canva presentations in seconds.
So fast.
Brainstorm got too big?
Ooh.
Summarize with AI in a click. Rider's block. Release with Canva Magic Write.
Magical.
Stress less and save time at canva.com. Designed for work.
This podcast is supported by FedEx. Dear small and medium businesses, no one wants happy customers more than you do. So you need a business partner just like you. Like FedEx, who understands your passion for serving your customers because they have the same commitment towards you. That's why FedEx offers you picture proof of delivery, packageless and paperless returns, as well as weekend home delivery to 98% of the U.S. on Saturday and 50% on Sunday. See the FedEx service guide for delivery information. What's more, FedEx Ground is faster to more locations than UPS Ground. Trust FedEx for timely deliveries. See what FedEx can do for your business. Absolutely, positively FedEx.
All right, let's get to a mad dash as we count you down to the last trading session of the week, about 7 minutes from now. Broadcom reported after the bell. What do you think?
Yeah, you know, David, you and I know Broadcom. This is an amazing company, big cash generator, but pays a good dividend, announced a $10 billion buyback. And Hock Tan has been on our show. Well, one of the reasons why a lot of tech is flying today is because he basically just said, and he can do this, everything is strong. Hypercomputing is strong. Your telco is strong. Now, telco, remember, big customer is Apple. You can't mention Apple. But this is the most bullish I've ever heard him. He wants to put the $10 billion to work right now, buying stock back. Just basically what he's saying is the spend for hypercomputing among the giants, the mega giants that we talk about in tech, is unprecedented. And they can't make stuff fast enough.
You know, Jim, this is a company that also, though, has used M&A as an important component of its strategy, pivoting from chips to software with the acquisition, of course, of Computer Associates.
Right.
But buying back $10 billion of stock indicates, in a way, perhaps, that there's not anything he sees near term that he wants to buy.
Not indicates. He point blank says it.
Yeah.
He says, look, there really isn't anything to buy. Now, isn't it interesting that you could have all those SPACs trying to find things to buy, and the number one acquirer in the tech space has nothing to buy, and he's a very shrewd acquirer. So I think we keep hearing people who want to raise money to buy things, but the kinks who know how to buy things are staying away. Right. Everything's too
high. Now, he likes, right, exactly. He would, I'm sure there are potential things that he doesn't want to pay for, but it's an, but does that detract from the story? Because they have had a good track record of buying things at the right price and executing potentially at least on synergies and everything else.
It doesn't detract because he basically can call his own tune. He basically name his price and make you do long-term contracts. This remarkable call, I've never heard Hawk so ebullient about his business. Yeah, and the analysts were surprised. He was kind of just so happy.
A happy Hawk.
Happy Hawk.
All right. Got a lot more for you, including an opening bell. And don't forget, you can catch us anytime, anywhere. Listen to and follow the Squawk on the Street opening bell podcast.
Oracle's up in the pre-market after posting a quarterly beat driven by cloud. Company announces a $10 billion increase in the buyback. Last night on the earnings call, Larry Ellison took a veiled swipe at AWS. In wake of that recent outage, he said one major customer told him that Oracle's cloud, quote, never, ever goes down. Meanwhile, Deutsche ups to buy this morning, Jim.
This was an amazing call. Before Dave and I went up there, I was trying to figure out whether to talk about Oracle or talk about what we ended up doing at Broadcom. And, Larry Ellison is in fine fettle on this. He completely trashes SAP. Basically says that they're a donor to his business. Yes, AWS. He talks about how the idea that his cloud doesn't really have any people. It's all digital, so it can't go down. On-prem, very strong. Lists some nameplates. Every big bank, Bank of America, this one they just onboarded. Those who wanted see what a competitive CEO is like, David, Ellison pulls no punches. I mean, at one point he says, hey, you know, and Mark Benioff, he just used...
Well, he's not CEO, actually.
No, he's chairman.
Yeah.
Safra's...
Yeah. And chief technical officer or something like
that.
Whatever, some title.
He's chief evangelist, and I just love him. He didn't like me.
He doesn't like you?
No.
That happens.
I once went to his island and he owns a
Did you? The Lanai Island? Yeah.
It's really good. It's
Don't
good
forget, he also owns there. A lot of Tesla. In fact, more Tesla, Mike Santoli reminded me yesterday, than Kathy Wood.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, he's a visionary. He's a genius. He's a competitor. But he doesn't care about anything other than winning. And you got to love that.
He's doing it.
Yeah, he is. And one of the things, it's also business is very strong. That's how you get it. Again, that's a tell. The business is made very, very strong.
Very, very strong, especially on the enterprise side. There's the opening bell and the CNBC real-time exchange and the big board. It's clean energy company Altus Power celebrating a listing via SPAC at the NASDAQ. Event management company Cvent also celebrating a listing via SPAC.
Imagine a couple of strangers get together and you write them a check, David. That's how it gets the media starts.
The way he presented that, I think it's clear from Chairman Gensler how he feels, or at least how he feels he must educate people.
He doesn't want what happened in 2000.
But they're not going away. SPACs are not going away. It was a feature of this year. Will continue to be. Will we ever see the level of issuance that we saw this year? It's hard to imagine that we'll see eclipsing what it's going to. We're going to be close to 600 IPOs of SPACs this year. By the way, IPOs in general, it has not been a good year if you bought them.
Right.
Oh, after
no.
The first trade,
below the listing base, 90% more than
but
last year.
A lot of it is due in part to SPACs, all so many of them trading below.
But many of these deals are bad.
But yeah.
I was out with dinner with a guy yesterday. I said, what are you up to? He said, I got a SPAC. I said, really?
Just listen.
Yeah. Invite him a SPAC. The next day, I said, what are you doing?
Wow. If you and I were smart, we would have all figured this out a couple of years ago. And there'd be empty chairs here at this desk.
We have what's called a contract. And we work for a company, and that company's called Comcast.
Did you have to bring that up?
I just felt like I ought to because I brought up Ford.
It's a great company.
I mentioned Boeing.
The stock is up. It's up. Look at that. Half a percent.
Is that big?
By the way, I'm glad I have a contract because I could get fired for talking about that. I'm kidding.
I think it was B of A yesterday, guys, that pointed out that a basket of Comcast, Altice, and Charter has underperformed the S&P by 30% in the last 3 months.
House of pain.
It's house of pain. Yeah. It is. And Verizon, AT&T, and T-Mobile, as we've said, and we did all this yesterday. We don't need to go back over it. Have also been significant underperformers throughout the course of the year. AT&T shares crawling back. They're down 20%.
I was doing a piece on working on Dividend Aristocrats because you've got Hormel is Dividend Aristocrat, and AT&T had been on that list, David.
What is a Dividend Aristocrat?
People
explain that
the
to me.
Every year.
Okay.
AT&T's not on that. I don't think it'll be on that list this year.
No. That was a key moment of disappointment for you when they cut their dividend as a result of the deal, of course, that they are still pursuing and likely to close in, let's call it, the next 4 or 5 months with Discovery to merge the Warner unit with Discovery.
Well, when do these stocks bottom? At what point do they represent value?
I think there are those who look at Discovery shares right now in terms of what the implied company will be valued at and think that there may be value there, but they're still concerned about the debt level of the company, despite John Malone, for example, coming on and talking about how they're going to be able to delever so quickly and not be as levered as much as might be anticipated, talking about not just cost synergies, but revenue synergies. Nonetheless, leverage plus linear cable networks still equals concern.
Well, is there a way that you can, without doing a deal, since the government probably will not favor many deals, where you can reinvent yourself and just come up with a product that is just like Roku? You know, Roku came out of nowhere. I don't know. I mean, something that in your device that's just different from what you thought. I mean, I subscribe to Disney Plus. I subscribe to ESPN Plus because I do fantasy football. It's your last weekend, obviously. But I'm just saying, like, something on the drawing board, David.
It's a great point and an interesting question. But oftentimes, companies that are the incumbents don't come up with those kinds of significant moves for any variety of reasons. And there have been plenty of books written about it.
Well, you wrote the book about this about 6 months ago, telling people, and I listened, was going to buy one of these stocks from a charitable trust. Thank you. Thank you for pointing out that it's not going to be. And you weren't recommending, so you just told the truth.
No, it's a competitive environment right now, but we'll see what 2022 brings.
I know we just did Oracle, but Jim, 17% gain in Oracle. Stock began the year at $61.
I actually think that Larry does like me, just so you know, because I just think that what matters is that in the end, what he says about who really uses him, and at one point he talks about the hybrid cloud. Everybody loves the hybrid cloud, which is like you're on premise, but then you can do it to one of the cloud companies. We're talking about Google.
Yep.
He calls it ridiculous. He says, that's ridiculous. You want to control the whole thing. So you have a cloud that can't be hacked, that you're in control of, with a firewall behind you for prem, and you also own. He's offering you a value proposition that's actually irreplaceable. That's why you can see Bank of America, one of the smartest companies in the world, going with him. All the banks. I mean, By the way, the healthcare companies all going with him. It is a tour de force call. Tour de force.
And so how, when we talk about the major cloud providers, obviously AWS and Amazon, and then we've got Microsoft, and then we've got Alphabet, where do you rank Oracle?
Well, I in the verticals that they're in, it's game, set, match. I mean, one of the things that's so hard is that you don't know them. Carl, you mentioned earlier something that's really important. Enterprise. Okay, the enterprise is hidden to most of our viewers. But Oracle is so cheap versus these other stocks, it really makes no sense. Remember, that Safra, the great CEO, she says, they bought back 47% of the company. Remember yesterday you were saying about, do buybacks work?
Yeah.
I mean, holy cow. They're doing that. They return so much money in dividends. This is a company that we used to talk about constantly, and we stopped. Now, of course, Mark Hurd passed away.
Yes.
And I had a great working relationship with Mark. He always told you about the names.
A real friend of CNBC.
Real great
friend. Safra Catz is
Safra's amazing.
Yeah.
Just incredible. These two, Safra, I do, and I miss Mark because Mark's better. Safra Catz and Larry Ellison are titans. And we don't even, it's like, well, yeah, Oracle. I mean, Oracle's gigantic.
Another chief executive you've been very complimentary of
has
been
Aaron.
Adam Aaron.
No, I know.
You knew it.
You know what?
Yeah,
I can read
it.
Your mind.
Yes,
like,
you can.
Just like Carson with, I'm the great Karnak.
Yeah.
People
Am
don't
I,
remember Carson.
Does that make me McMahon? I don't know. I've been talking about it. I'm like,
right.
He's just, all he can do is wait to sell. You know, sold another 313,000 shares.
Yeah.
He owns now only 96,000 shares of common.
So the CFO
this
sell
after
it all,
a
right?
sale of 313. CFO's done. He's out.
Yeah, but he gets more stock.
Okay.
More stock.
So he sold 18,000 shares. CFO Sean Goodman owns zero right now.
Okay.
They were all by 10b5-1 trading plans adopted,
right.
You know, as well. But they're managing to monetize. As I kind
right.
of, we knew
but
they would.
But they're also offering very interesting things. It's got a club-like feel when you're a shareholder, right? I mean, free popcorn, nothing yet with NFT.
Free popcorn is definitely worth
it. He stokes the apes, right? He's got the apes going for him.
So he's got a $14.5 billion market value still.
Yeah. Do you think it's probably overvalued versus
I think that there is a general belief amongst those who follow the company closely in the analyst community that it is vastly overvalued.
And how about GameStop after that terrific call yesterday?
GameStop did not have a great yesterday.
The call, they've got to really start running the call. I mean, that call is like, you know, MICKEY.
They've been unwilling to be as transparent, at least as, I mean, if we're going to start comparing meme names.
Well, I'll tell you something. Remember, it's always Ryan Cohen, the co-founder of Chewy. Chewy's quarter wasn't so hot.
We haven't done Chewy.
They got
just an EBITDA miss.
Although Singh did a good job, and they do.
He did.
They're getting more percussive.
We had him on Closing Bell yesterday, the CEO.
Yeah, well, they said it was on Mad Money, but I watched it. I felt great.
He was on with Sarah and myself. Yeah.
Well, they said it was on Mad Money.
Well, they were wrong.
But Q4 revenue guide was basically in line. Nothing too fancy.
No, but look, I mean, Chewy's, it's not being hurt. It's taking customers. But you never want to hear that they got a supply chain issue. Now, was it, look, they're very transparent, and they're getting more per customer. I thought that mattered. Great. Was it better than Lulu in terms of a bad call of the night?
I don't know.
Wow. Mirror on the
Lulu's
wall.
Lulu's only down 1%. Lulu has, I mean, it is.
Well, it's just mirror. Everything else is
Lulu's valued at a multiple to revenues that is extraordinary for any company, let alone a retailer.
But many say
that it is well-deserved given what this company's been able to
accomplish. And Mirror's not doing that.
And it's $54 billion market value.
All the clothing was doing well, but people were really focused on Mirror, their acquisition, and how it may not be working, sales expectations lower. They did talk it down. Now, I bought the Mirror as a surprise for my daughter who doesn't watch the show. And it comes in like these giant pieces, and you got to have someone you have to have someone stay at home. You're ready for it, and it's like it's sitting in my. I'm not doing anything with it, dude. It's so big. It's like I don't want to do it. Mirror, cracked mirror, black mirror. Mirror on the wall.
They've got that dispute over mirror with Peloton, which today.
Oh my God! Did you see that Peloton
today
piece?
Gets cut by CS. They go to neutral, target 50. That's basically cutting their target in half. And Peloton, close to a three handle now, Jim.
Well, you know, I hear those things, but like, I having a heart attack on Peloton.
Spoiler alert.
So it's a spoiler alert. Which I don't think the company has addressed.
No.
Maybe they had a statement.
No, I don't know. But look,
My wife watched that last night. I'm like, really? Yeah. They killed him off in the first episode?
You're not supposed to. It's a spoiler.
Sorry, David. I don't care. Don't watch it anyway. It's really not really good.
I think that the downgrade had a lot to be desired because I think that you would have liked that from Foley a little earlier there. John Foley, by the way, is a great competitor, and I don't want to just denigrate the guy. And it is a remarkable thing. But look, the pandemic kind of ran its course, and a lot of the people who were on their exercise like classes, and a lot of people want to go out and Planet Fitness doing better. And
Well, the pandemic could run its course. There's some people might disagree with that.
Okay. I put it another way. People are accepting the risk of the pandemic, and they're going back to Planet Fitness, which is doing quite well.
By the way, the other downgrade of note is Southwest. Jim, of course, talked to Gary Kelly and Jordan yesterday. Close to 42. Goldman goes to sell. Their general point, Jim, is they're going to spend a lot more on technology, above average industry cost, and a longer path to to pre-COVID profitability.
Well, they had an analyst day, and you got three analysts saying bad things. Now, obviously, Gary Kelly's stepping up the chairmanship, but I don't think that it's worth betting against Southwest down here. It's a pretty good company, but they do have some labor issues. They do have to spend more. All the airlines have to spend a lot on technology because these things, Southwest is good customer service, but the customer service these days is web. It's you. You know, you get the United. Have you been? Are you a member of the United Club?
No.
It's really good.
Is it?
Yeah, it's just fantastic. Spent a lot of money on tech there.
We should quickly do Moderna.
Yes. Yes.
On some flu vaccine data that I guess did not impress the market, Jim. The volatility in this particular name remains remarkable.
Monster short position. It's one of those things where it's very hard to figure out the terminal value. Say, I mean, if a company has all this cash, they have to develop these personalized cancer vaccines in order to be able to justify this
valuation, right?
Right.
I mean, again,
because you can't just have. Remember, Pfizer's got this giant pipe, and they have some loss of exclusivity drugs that this is going to tide them over. Moderna is just—it's not one shot, but.
No.
Yeah, well, that's literally one shot.
It's been cut in half. I mean, at one point, I remember it was challenging Merck in terms of market value.
Now
Moderna's market value is below $100 billion. It's still a very large company, and obviously the stock has still been an incredible performer. Even over the last 12 months, it's still up nicely.
Well, I love Mansell, and I think he's going to be able to pull off more than people realize.
Mm-hmm.
But, geez, that stock got way too hot.
It's easy to say now, isn't it?
Well, you mean second guessing person?
Okay. Not that you were never a big proponent.
I like Pfizer because Pfizer has so much going for them.
Yeah.
Pfizer's a good company.
We should mention, we talked to Oracle, Cisco and Salesforce are both leading the Dow. There is a report, Jim, that Microsoft is going to get clearance on Nuance in the EU.
Yeah.
$16 billion deal.
A lot of people feel they paid too much for Nuance. I think I'm not going against what that company does. But Salesforce
people
had this.
Still waiting for that close, and obviously the other one is AMD and Xilinx.
Salesforce had a very positive meeting, and Mark Benioff was in town. And what he's saying is, Slack is very, very good. You know what else is? Benioff gets mentioned on the Oracle call, and there are people who didn't like the Benioff guidance. Remember, he was doing 82 cents, and he cut down to 72 cents. And he blamed the dollar.
I'm glad we're in the Benioff part of the show now.
Well,
we did the Farley part of the show.
That's a good one.
I want to talk about Microsoft, and you can't help yourself. You just got
to
talk about Salesforce.
I feel like crying.
Where's our Jensen? We should just have segments titled.
Okay, want that? There's a complete beat. There's a report out today about who are the winners in the Omniverse, Metaverse, and it's talking about Roblox,
Goldman
of course.
Does a piece, yeah.
Where is? There's not even a plaque. There's not a monument for Jensen in that piece. So it's getting hit.
It's not really getting hit. It's down.
Stock's getting hit.
Down fractionally.
Well, I was going to say that Larry Ellison talked about how the dollar got so strong. Now, when it did curtail some of the enthusiasm. When Benioff said that in the comms call, people ignored it and said, he's obviously business is weaker. Didn't say that about Oracle. Mark did have he's been having these very interesting salon dinners. He had Yo-Yo Ma the other day.
Wow.
When I was a freshman at college, I went to Yo-Yo Ma and I said, I guess that area's done. That guy's done.
Yeah.
There was never going to be another guy like him. I said, I saw.
So he had him in person, or was that in the meta? That wasn't in the metaverse.
But you have to have PCR.
You have to have a PCR test to see Yo-Yo Ma.
Yes.
In person.
No, to go
Mark
to the dinner.
Right.
Mark Lane.
Yes.
Yeah.
These days, everybody's got a test for everything.
Yeah.
By the way, testing is much easier, thankfully.
Yeah,
you've seen ads for Binax everywhere,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, Binax, and the stock continues to do very, very well as people realize that, wait a second, you got to test regularly because you don't know who has it, and they make, everyone thinks that they're gouging. That's not right. They haven't raised the price. And it's just that in Europe, in London, you get it free. You know, they give it to you free in UK. Here they charge.
Well, the testing here in the vans on this you can is free.
I do. I love the concierge.
Yeah. But no, right? I mean,
no,
yeah.
Concierge van.
Once you get
comes
your QR code, you just go up and get tested. Boom.
We test you. I like it.
Yeah. Guys, we're hanging on to 4,700 roughly. Dow's up 175, even with all the hand wringing about CPI. Let's get to Bob Pisani. Hey, Bob.
Yeah, we're up nicely and holding the gains. It's not a huge rally, but it's a very broad rally. What does that mean? I always get asked, what does that mean, broad rally? Well, 4-1 advancing to declining stocks. That's a broad rally. More importantly, it's broad in terms stylistically, in terms of sectors. You have growth like technology stocks. Semi's having a great morning. Broadcom's up like $50, like close to 10%. It had a great report, $10 billion buyback. It's just killing it, all cylinders there. Energy started up, is now flattish, but there's materials. So you get sectors that have cyclical characteristics, consumer staples, which are defensive characteristics up. That's a broad rally. Transports are a little bit not participating as much because the airlines are a little weaker today. But by and large, the airlines have had a pretty good week. So where are we right now? The headline on the CPI, okay, we know what the headline is going to be, 6.8%. That'll be screaming. It's not great, but it's not unexpected. And the key thing about and why you're seeing this market reaction, this is a completely different market than 2 weeks ago because the Fed has already become more hawkish. The Fed has moved in advance of the market. Had the Fed done nothing, we would not be seeing the market looking like this. So what's happened? Short-term yields have already moved up. What else has happened? The dollar has already moved up. What else? The emerging market stocks have moved down. That's a very typical reaction. And we've seen speculative tech, Cathie Wood stuff, crypto, already weaker. The market's different than it was 2 weeks ago. So give Jay Powell a little credit here. What else is going on here? You notice this bifurcation between big cap tech, mega cap tech, actually, and the more speculative stuff. So, you know, look at just from the 52-week high, you can slice and dice this a million different ways, but Apple, Alphabet, Amazon, Nvidia, you know, from 52-week highs, they're not that far off from where they were on 52-week highs. Look at the more speculative tech stocks, stuff associated with Cathie Wood, for example. This is a pretty big difference. Tesla, Coinbase, Spotify, Twilio, Roku, you could go on and on. There's dozens of names here associated with it. But you see the huge bifurcation between mega cap tech and more speculative tech. Big gulf in terms of what investors are willing to keep their money in right now. So where are we? What are we going next? What's going to happen in the next couple of weeks? Obviously, the Fed, and again, give Powell some credit, the tightening has been well telegraphed. And that's why we're getting this market today. Omicron, well, all right, is it more infection, less virulent? This is the narrative we want to believe. The Pfizer news was a really big plus. Fauci, give him some credit. He was right directionally on where the story was going on Omicron so far. I still maintain if that is the correct narrative on Omicron, then the big story for 2022 is not Omicron. The big story will become how strong will the consumer remain? Not in January. How strong is the consumer, Carl, going to be in June, July, August, September next year? That's the big question that we're going to have to deal with. And we're all going to be talking about that come January. Carl, back to you.
As we go to break, let's take a look at how treasuries are faring this morning. Obviously, hugely important CPI print today, and the consensus largely got it right. Some taking some solace in the core, up 5/10. Prior months was 6/10. You got the 10-year back to 147, and on a real basis, got lowest levels in several years. Dow's up 154. We'll be right back. A reminder, you can always get in on the new CNBC Investing Club with Jim, especially on the heels of his event yesterday, which was fabulous. Go to cnbc.com/investingclub or use the QR code on the screen. It takes you right there. Hanging on to some pretty steady gains, at least in the first half hour of trade, 46.92. We're back in a moment. Let's get to Jim and stop trading.
Carl, Cowen's been doing a couple of really great pieces, best ideas for 2022. My favorite so far is Oliver Chen today, talking about Macy's. If you look at Macy's from the summer, it went all the way up because they announced this great, that they're thinking about doing this terrific initiative. They've got great Omni, great third-party marketplace, growing loyalty program. So this may be the level to get back in. You've sidestepped a gigantic move up as people got very excited about the idea of spinning off the dot-com, so to speak. But this is a good level. Jeff Gennett's working very hard for you. I think you're going to have a good holiday season. I like this call very, very much.
How about tonight?
I'm possessed by housing, and there's a company called ASAP that makes the decking that I use. I don't know if you know it. Jesse Singh was a terrific executive at 3M. Now he's running this. He's doing an amazing job at ASAP. And what I want to do is get the temperature of people who are putting new decks down. Everything in a home, you can't. This man's putting up factories, trying to keep up with demand. This is some country right now. Wow. Demand and everything. Even cream cheese.
Yes. Thankfully, perhaps not a shortage.
That would be devastating. I'm from Philadelphia. That would say a lot about us.
There you go.
Yes, you are.
That's where all the cream cheese comes from.
Jim, we'll see you tonight.
Great show, guys.
Good week.
Thank you.
Mad Money, 6 p.m. Eastern time.
You've been listening to the opening hour of CNBC's Squawk on the Street.
This podcast is supported by FedEx. Dear small and medium businesses, no one wants happy customers more than you do. So you need a business partner just like you. Like FedEx, who understands your passion for serving your customers because they have the same commitment towards you. That's why FedEx offers you picture proof of delivery, packageless and paperless returns, as well as weekend home delivery to 98% of the U.S. on Saturday and 50% on Sunday. See the FedEx service guide for delivery information. What's more, FedEx Ground is faster to more locations than UPS Ground. Trust FedEx for timely deliveries. See what FedEx can do for your business. Absolutely, positively FedEx.